Verse 17. Then it happened, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, "Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" And he answered, "I've not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals." I just want to tell you, we are in an incredible season in this house. I keep saying, these last 3 weeks, if you've been here, you know there's just something different happening. There's a move of the Holy Spirit. And I just keep saying, we're in the flow, we're in the flow, we're in the flow. That word just keeps coming back to me over and over again. And as I'm reading through Micah this week, I get to Micah 4, verse 1, and it says this, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it." We're in the flow right now. We're in a season of flow. These last few weeks, people have been flowing into this house. And I believe it's because they're looking for the Holy Spirit. They're looking for Jesus. They're looking for the real thing. They're not looking for religion anymore. We're in the flow. And when you get in the flow, when you walk in the anointing, when you walk with the Holy Spirit, I also want to tell you and I want to warn you, what will happen? In 1 Kings 18, I read this because you need to see what will happen. Elijah, the prophet, he walked in the anointing. He walked in the filling, the power, and the strength of the Holy Spirit. And what happens when you walk in the anointing? It says this, it happened when Ahab, the king, saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, "Is that you, O troubler of Israel? The devil will come and gaslight you when you're walking in the anointing. The devil will come and manifest himself when you walk in the anointing, and he'll say that you're the troubler. He'll say that you're the problem. You're the issue." No, no, no. When you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, demons will manifest. But you also need to know this. In Ephesians 6, go to Ephesians 6. When the devil comes to try to gaslight you and tell you that you're the problem, you're the troubler, you need to remember this. Because your initial reaction will be to the person. It will be to the person. You'll be like, "Who are you? Get out of here. No, you need to leave. I don't want anything to do with you." And then you'll be tempted to go and complain about that person to somebody else. It's not the person, it's a spirit. It's spiritual. We are in a spiritual battle. When you walk in the anointing and you start to put on the full armor of God, it says in chapter 6, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Put on the whole armor of God. That's what some of you are doing in this season. You're putting on the armor of God. You're beginning to walk in the anointing. You're beginning to walk in the power of his Holy Spirit. When you put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes of the devil. He's got schemes. He's got a plan. How he wants to come and attack you and tear you down. How he wants to gaslight you. How he wants to tell you that you're the troubler. How he wants to get you to quit. How he wants to get you to run and hide. But if you put on the armor of God, you'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I just felt that this week. We're just in the flow right now. Some of you, you're in the flow. I kept going day after day, glory to glory, and just in his presence. And all of a sudden, I get to Saturday, and I have this moment where something happens, and I'm faced with something from somebody in the natural. And in my mind, I'm thinking, why is he doing this? And then it hits me. This isn't natural, it's spiritual. Demons will manifest in the presence of the Holy Spirit. There will be moments it won't make sense to you why this person is yelling at you, screaming at you, why they're reacting the way they are. And you'll begin to think, you'll begin to believe for a second, maybe it's me, maybe I'm the problem, maybe I'm the issue, maybe I'm the troubler. You're not the troubler. You're the anointed. You're the anointed. You're not the troubler. You're the anointed. And you were called for such a time as this. Walk in the Spirit. Put on the whole armor of God and know that when the troubler comes and he tries to gaslight you and tell you that you're the problem, you're the issue, no, you stand strong in the faith. You stand filled with his Holy Spirit. You stand and you let the fruit show. Test the fruit. Test the fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do you have it? Do you know him? If you're not filled with his Holy Spirit, if you don't see the fruit, if people can't see the fruit coming out of your life, then you need to evaluate. But when those demons manifest and they try to tell you that you're the troubler and they try to tell you, you should be dead, you don't deserve to live, you don't belong here, and they try to get you to run and hide and blend in with the rest of the world, to worship the Baals and not the one true God, to not stand out, to not do what's right, because you know what's right. His word tells us. That's why the righteous, it says in Scripture, are as bold as lions. You can stand boldly because you know you are living righteously. You know the truth of his word, and when the Holy Spirit is in you, he empowers you to walk in spirit and truth, to walk in righteousness, to love what is good and hate what is evil. Let's pray. Father God, I pray for this moment that your anointing would just sweep through the room. Your Holy Spirit, your presence would just sweep through the room. I pray hard hearts would become softened right now in this moment. I pray that doubt and skepticism, that scoffing and mocking would be silenced in your presence. Lord Jesus, I pray that this church would rise up and be bold in these last days. That we would be bold as lions because we love what is righteous. We love your word. We know that your word separates us from the world and that we would desire to live righteously to honor you. And so we humble ourselves and we seek you right now in this moment. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would come and just flow through this room like a wave and that your Holy Spirit would just keep washing over hard hearts and just wash away the walls and the debris and just clear hard hearts in this moment. Clear doubt right now, Lord Jesus. I pray for faith to rise in this moment. In your name, Jesus Christ, I pray for faith for somebody that doesn't have faith. I pray for faith to rise in this moment. In Jesus' name, let us rise. Let us be bold as lions. In Jesus' name we declare, and all God's people said amen. All right, worship team, you've been going through a marathon up here. Get out of here for a little bit, take a break. Hey, let's honor the worship team and the gifts that they use, that they steward, the gifts they steward for his kingdom. Micah 4 verse 1. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. God is establishing this house in this region, and we're in the flow right now. There's a flow that's happening. Some of you, you're here today and you don't even know why you're here. You just got caught up in the flow. Praise the Lord that you're here today. You just felt something this week. You felt his prompting. You felt something come to your mind. Let me tell you something. That was the Holy Spirit. You got caught up in the flow of the Spirit today. You'd been away for a little bit, and I know this because he gave me a vision of somebody sitting in a certain seat, and I know that that person's sitting in the seat today. He gave me this vision yesterday, and I see that person sitting here today, and I want you to know God put you on my heart and my mind to preach to you today. And so I know you're here for a reason, because I see you in that seat, and I prayed for that seat specifically today. Some of you got caught up in the flow today. The Holy Spirit loves you. Jesus loves you. The Father loves you. You're here today for a reason. You're caught in the flow, and I pray that you would never go back to dry land. I pray you would never go back to dry land, that you would trust him. It says in Ezekiel that the people, they went out into the water, and at first they got ankle deep, and then they got a little more bold, and they got knee deep, and then it says they got waist deep in Ezekiel, and then all of a sudden they got into the place in the water where they couldn't touch the ground anymore, and what were they? They were in the flow. The title of this message is In the Flow. The Holy Spirit just told me that right now. I don't know. There you go. Pastor Andrew, he does the titles on our online stuff. You're in the flow right now. Don't go back to dry land. Don't even go back to where you can touch. Trust him in the water. Trust him in the flow. Trust him in the spirit. That's what he wants to teach you today. Some of you, you've been walking in the truth all your life, and you've been holding on to the truth, and the truth is a firm foundation. But guess what? He wants you to walk in spirit and truth. And there's a greater level of trust that has to take place when you step into the spiritual and out of the natural. Sometimes we like to try to live in the natural, and we like to hold on to the truth, and we see what's going on over there in those spirit-filled churches, and we're like, those people are weird. In fact, some of you are here today, and you're like, this church is a little weird. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, because all we're trying to do is be obedient to his voice and walk by spirit and truth. Get in the flow today. I just believe I feel a heart right now. There's somebody's heart. There's something that just broke off right now in that moment. You just said, I want to get in the flow. I hear you. He hears you. He loves you. Trust him in this season. You got caught up in the flow this week. That's why you're here. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. Some of you, you've been living in the world, and you've been listening to the world's ways, and you've been walking in the path of the world, and all you've seen is pain, hurt, shame, guilt, destruction. You've seen relationships crumble. Everything you've done walking the path of the world, your life has fallen apart. And that's why today something caught you up. You got caught up in the spirit. You got caught up in the flow, and you're here in this room today. You're here because you want him to teach you his ways so you can walk in his paths. For out of Zion, the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all people walk in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. It doesn't matter. There's a lot of people out there that they say they're agnostic, they say they're atheist, they say they don't know what they believe. And they say, I don't believe in a God. No, no, no. You believe in some kind of God. It's just the gods of this world, they've changed their names. That's what they've done. They've changed their names. They've rebranded. There's some people out there, they're saying, well, I believe in science. I heard a lot of people saying they believed in science in 2020 back during COVID. Looks like science kind of let you down. Looks like that God kind of let you down. Looks like that God was a liar. You know what God doesn't lie? You know what God never changes from age to age? It's him right here. And you're here today, and he wants to speak to you. Church, that's something. Let's get excited. Let's get excited, church. Some of you, woo! If you got a Bible with you, hold it up. Hold it up above your head. Hold it up above your head right now. I don't care if it's your phone. If you're reading on your phone, that's all right. Hold it up above your head. There's people out there. Something let you down in 2020. He won't let you down. Something let you fall in 2020. Something gave up on you in 2020. It was the gods of this world. But this God, the one true God, he won't let you down. He won't forsake you. You're his son. You're his daughter. I feel the Holy Spirit coming on so powerfully in this moment. This is 4 weeks in a row. I told you, he keeps manifesting. His presence keeps showing up. And I can't feel my hand right now. Woo! Praise the Lord. Some of you are like, I don't believe it. I'm telling you, what do I got to gain by lying to you? Nothing. I look like a crazy person. But I'm testifying because I feel the Holy Spirit in this room. He manifests in different ways. Some of you feel it in your heart. Some of you feel it in your head. Some of you feel it in your stomach. Right now, I feel my hand going numb because his presence is coming into this room, because this is a room that honors him. Because when you honor the word, you honor him. Something lets you down. One of the gods you worship, you didn't think you worshiped other gods. You were worshiping some other god. Where you put your time, where you put your talent, where you put your treasure, that is what you worship. That's what you worship. You think, I don't worship any other god. Where are you putting your time, talent, and treasure? Where are you investing everything? Who are you giving your first and your best to? When you wake up first thing in the morning, are you giving your first 5 minutes to talking to the Lord, to listening to His voice, to opening up His word? Or are you giving your first 5 minutes to the scroll? Are you opening up Facebook? Are you opening up Instagram? And are you seeing what the demons got to say today? What are the demons telling you? What are these other gods? What are these false gods saying today? What should you worry about? What should you be fearful about? What should you worship? Oh, we don't listen to those gods. We listen to the one true God. I saw a lot of people upset recently. They're upset about what's going on in this country and the leadership in this country. Let me tell you something. I don't got time to be upset with that. I don't got time to be caught up in that because I know who's in control. I know who the Lord is. I know who the King of Kings is. And I trust what He's doing in this world. And I see that there's a revival happening in this world. There's a return to truth because people saw the things they trusted in 2020. They saw them let them down. They saw the gods crumble. They saw the gods fall face down on the ground because there's only one true living God. It says here in, where am I? First Samuel. Man, I've been wanting to preach this sermon for a long time. I had this sermon queued up for weeks now, and all of a sudden He's given it to me. I didn't even put it in my notes today. All right, Lord. In 1 Samuel, the prophet Eli and his sons, they had drifted. They had drifted from the Lord. They had drifted from true north, His word. And they thought, when they went to war against the Philistines, they thought they could control and manipulate the Lord. And so they said, well, we want to win this battle. The first battle they went out, they lost. And they're like, what's going on? And they said, oh, I know what we need. We need the priests and we need the ark. And so they got the priests, they got Hophni and Phinehas out there and they got the ark and they started going out there and they started yelling and whooping and hollering and worshiping because they know that's how they'd won battles in the past. And they thought that they could control and manipulate the presence of the Lord without walking in holiness and sanctification because their lives, they were walking in disobedience. They were walking in sin. They didn't care about holiness anymore. And so they thought, oh, we can just control and manipulate to gain the victory. And so they brought the ark out there, and the Philistines, they were kind of worried because they'd heard the stories of the past. They'd heard about Israel and their incredible victories that their God had brought them. But what was different this time was they thought they were in control. They weren't in the flow. They were trying to walk in control. They were trying to walk in their own power, their own strength. They were trying to manipulate the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. You cannot control His power. You cannot possess Him. And so they take Him out there. They take the ark out there, and they lose the battle, and they're shocked. They don't understand what happened. Hophni and Phinehas, they die in the war. And when people come back from the war, and they tell Eli what happened, it says Eli, he fell over dead because he'd gotten heavy in his old age. He'd gotten lazy. He'd stopped walking with the Lord. And then it says the Philistines, they captured the ark. And they thought, oh, we got the power now. We can possess this power. And they took the ark to their temple of Dagon. That was their god that they worshipped. And they put it down in front of Dagon. And they said, look, now we control Dagon, and now we control the god of the Israelites. And what happened that night? It says Dagon fell down on his face before the ark. And they set him up. And it happened again the next night, and he broke. It says his hands shattered. He has no power. He has no strength. The gods of this world bow down on their faces to the living God, to the one true God. So what happened in 2020, you need to know this. There was an awakening in this world. People are waking up now and realizing there's something spiritual happening. It's beyond the physical. It's beyond what the experts say. It's beyond what the people on the news are telling you. It's beyond whatever source that you thought you could trust and rely in this world. You realize they all fall down in the face of the living God and in the face of His word. And everything that this world tries to create and build outside of the living God, it falls on its face and it shatters before Him. Stop trying to build your life on the gods of this world. That's why you're here today. You've been holding on to something in your hands. You've been clenching it. And I'm just asking you today to listen to His voice. And would you fall down on your face today and let whatever you've been holding on to out of your own power, your own might, your own strength, let it shatter. Let him open your hands today to receive what he's got for you. I feel like we need to pray right now. Just close your eyes. Bow your heads. If that's you today, put your hands right in front of you, right out there on your lap. Put them palms to the sky. Church, just repeat after me. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, have your way in me. I drop everything I've been holding on to, and I trust in you. Amen. Micah 6. Man, woof. He's moving. Right now, he's moving. For some of you, you're getting hit. You're getting touched. That's the Holy Spirit. Some of you, you're wiping a tear from your eye. That's the Holy Spirit. There's freedom, there's deliverance, there's healing right now happening for you. You just dropped something that you've been holding on to. You just dropped a broken relationship that you kept trying to hold on to and you kept trying to make work, and it's not working, and it's not giving you joy. It's not giving you peace. It's not giving you patience. It's not filled with the Holy Spirit. It was broken and it was dysfunctional. He just wants you to let go. I don't know if it was a friendship. I don't know if it was a boyfriend, a girlfriend. It was somebody that you were trying to hold on to and clench to. And I'm telling you, if you'll just drop it and give it over to him, what's he do? He's going to renew and restore you today. Micah 6, verse 9. The Lord's voice cries to the city, "Wisdom shall see your name. Hear the rod. Who has appointed it? Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the short measure that is an abomination? Shall I count pure those with the wicked scales and with the bag of deceitful weights? Shall the Lord do that? Shall he count pure those with the wicked scales with the bag of deceitful weights?" No, there's people right now that are lying, that are deceivers, that are deceitful, and people are saying, "Oh, no, you just trust them, they're good, they're good." No, they're deceivers in this world. The Lord will not count them pure just because they say they are pure. Do their actions line up? Do their deeds line up with their words? For her rich men are full of violence. There's rich men in our world today full of violence. Her inhabitants have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. We see that in this world today. There are deceivers. There are liars. There are those who are full of violence, because they want to gain another dollar. "Therefore, I will also make you sick by striking you, by making you desolate because of your sins." Sickness and sin sometimes are connected, we see in Scripture. If you're sick today, I would challenge you. Is there something you need to repent of? Is there something you've been holding on to? Is there somebody you need to forgive today? Let it go. Walk in the holiness that he calls you to. "You shall eat, but not be satisfied. Hunger shall be in your midst. You may carry some away, but shall not save them. And what you do, rescue, I will give over to the sword. You shall sow, but not reap. You shall tread the olives, but not anoint yourselves with oil, and make sweet wine, but not drink wine. For the statutes of Omri are kept. All the works of Ahab's house are done. And you walk in their counsels, that I may make you a desolation, and your inhabitants a hissing. Therefore you shall bear the reproach of my people." What were they doing? They were still living out the statutes of Omri. Who was Omri? He was a king. "And all the works of Ahab's house are done." Who was Ahab? He was Omri's son. King Omri, King Ahab, what were they known for? Idol worship. Partnering with the world. Syncretism. They were trying to combine Israel's worship, the worship of the one true God, with the worship of the gods of this world. And I'm telling you today, there are still those of us in this room, in this world, that keep trying to do that. We keep trying to hold on to the gods of this world, and we keep trying to hold on to the one true God. And he's saying, no, you can't have both. Let go of the world. Fall down on your face. Walk in obedience to him. Because what happens for those people? What's it say? "You shall sow but not reap." There's no harvest for you. You'll tread the olives, but you'll not anoint yourselves with oil. You'll make sweet wine, but you won't drink wine. There is no blessing when you try to walk with one foot in the world and one foot in his word. You cannot do both. You can't have part of the word. You can't have the parts you like. Oh, I like that part. That part sounds really nice. Oh, I kind of like this. You can't have one without the other. You need the whole thing. You don't get to pick and choose. Micah 7, verse 1 says this, "Woe is me, for I am like those who gather summer fruits, like those who glean vintage grapes. There is no cluster to eat of the first ripe fruit which my soul desires. The faithful man has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among men. They all lie and wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net, that they may successfully do evil with both hands. The prince asks for gifts. The judge seeks a bribe." We still got that today. We got politicians looking for gifts, judges looking for bribes. We got leaders in our world today that are looking for all those things, and they're not walking in righteousness. They're not walking by the law of the Lord. They're walking for their own gain. And the great man utters his evil desire, so they scheme together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn edge. The day of your watchman and your punishment comes. Now shall be their perplexity. Do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. For son dishonors father. Daughter rises against her mother. Daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. You can't rely on the people of this world. But in his house, when you're planted in his house, it says in Psalm 92, you'll be fresh and flourishing all your days. You'll be like a palm tree. You'll be like a cedar of Lebanon. You won't be a briar. What's that say? What's it say? The best of them in this world, you're like a briar. You're like a thorn edge. You don't want to be a briar. You don't want to be a thorn edge. You want to be a palm tree. You want to be a cedar of Lebanon. You want to be fresh and flourishing, producing fruit all the days of your life. That's what the world is hungry for. The world's hungry for good fruit, because everywhere they go in this world, the leaders of this world that walk outside of the King and his word, there's no fruitfulness. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy, when I fall. Some of you, you feel like that today. You feel like this last week. You feel like you fell. When I fall, I will arise. That's a word for somebody today. That was a word. Pastor Steph and I, we were at conference this week, and that was a word that was given, and that word has been with me. It's been in my spirit all week. It says no matter how many times you fall, the righteous fall seven times, they get back up again. That's what the righteous do. The righteous keep getting back up again. Even when it looks like the world is winning, the righteous, you get back up again. You're going to rise again. This is not the end. It's the end for the wicked. The wicked stay there. The wicked stay down, but the righteous rise. Would you rise right now? Worship team, come on up here. We rise. We get back up again. It says that in his word. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Even if you're in here today and you feel like you are in a dark season, you feel like you keep falling on your face time and time again, I want to tell you something. The Lord is with you. If you will invite him in, if you will say, Lord, I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life. Jesus, I want you. I want all that you have for me. I want the life you've called me to. If you will confess him, it says the word is near us. In our heart, in our mouth. It begins with the mouth. Will you confess him today as Lord? Our ministry team, they're going to be up here at the front. If you've never confessed Jesus as Lord, if you want to do that today, I would tell you, don't miss this opportunity to go and to pray with somebody and just say, I want to confess Jesus as Lord, because you feel him right now. And some of you, you don't feel him. Some of you, all you feel is the world and the lies of the world. But if you would begin to confess, even though you don't feel like it, if you would just begin to say the words, what will happen is it will begin to change your heart. It will begin to transform what's going on within you, within your soul. And so some of you, you're in here and you got low faith and you're kind of looking around and you're like, this isn't for me. Maybe this is good for somebody else, but it's not good for me. You're skeptical. That's the spirit of this world. Skepticism, doubt. Jesus never once praised skepticism. What did he do? He praised faith. The people that had great faith, those were the ones he encouraged. Don't you want that? Don't you want that today? So begin to confess faith over your life. Begin to confess who Jesus is and what he's done. Even though you may not feel it, I'm telling you, as you confess it with your mouth, it will go out and it will come into your heart. You got to speak to your heart. You got to preach to your soul. Soul, arise. Soul, awake. You might be down today, but if you begin to speak, rise. Rise in the name of Jesus. Come alive. Speak resurrection to your soul today. He wants you to come alive right now. Say it. Say, come alive, soul. Say it. Come alive, soul. Come alive. It's breaking. Jesus. Break right now in the name of Jesus. Break. Doubt, break. Skepticism, break. Leave right now. Jesus. Arise. When I sit in darkness, Lord, be a light to me. Lord, be a light to me in this moment. Shine a light in the darkness. Jesus, please. There's resistance right now. You've built so many walls because you've been hurt so many times. You've been hurt by the church. You've been hurt by a pastor. You've been hurt by a priest. But I'm telling you today, just say, Lord, please come. There's a flow. There's a river that wants to flow right now. I feel the dam about to break in your heart. But you got to say it. You got to speak it. It starts with the mouth. Lord, break me. Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would come right now. That you would come like a river, that you'd come rushing in. I pray for the dam to break, for the dam to burst, for waters of your living water to flow through right now in Jesus' name. Jesus. King Ahab. He followed the ways of his father. It was what he knew. It was what he saw. His father worshiped the gods of this world. And so what did King Ahab do? He kept doing the same thing. He kept worshiping the same old gods. There's another father and son in Scripture. There was another father, King Ahaz. It says in 2 Chronicles 28, he became unfaithful to the Lord. He sacrificed to the gods of Damascus. He sacrificed to the other gods. He sacrificed on the high places. He sacrificed to the molded images of the Baals. He burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom. And he burned children in the fire. He sacrificed to these gods. And he had a son, Hezekiah. And it says in 2 Chronicles 29, Hezekiah became king. And when he was 25 years old and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. According to all that his father David had done. I don't care what your father did. I don't care what your mother did. What did your father do? What has Jesus declared? What's the word say? I don't care what you've seen in your family. I don't care what you've seen. He wants to set you free today in the name of Jesus. He wants to set you free today. That's what Hezekiah knew. He didn't look at what he knew in the world. He looked at what he knew in the Word. And he saw what his father David had done. And he said, we're not going to worship like the world. We're not going to live like the world. We're going to live like the Word has said, like the Word has declared. And so what did he do? He raised up priests. He raised up the Levites in that day. And they began to clean out the temple that his father had filled with the molded images, with the gods of this world. And they cleaned out the temple. I believe somebody right now, the Lord is cleaning out the temple of your heart. Fall on your knees. Whoa, fall on your knees in the name of Jesus. Hey, if that's you, humble yourself and pray. Humble yourself and pray. That's where it began. It began with the priests going into the temple. And they began to clean out the debris, it says in 2 Chronicles 29. There's debris in your heart that he's cleaning out right now. Holy Spirit, please clean that out. It's the debris of your fathers. It's the debris of your mothers, your grandfathers, your grandmothers, your great-grandfathers, your great-grandmothers. It was generational. It was a generational curse that was passed on to you. But today he's breaking it in the name of Jesus because Jesus is the curse breaker. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We got to worship. Hey, we got to worship right now. Let's worship. Worship. Hey.